Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Hey everybody. Welcome to Thrift Therapy. This is your host, LaVie. The music you hear playing in the background is an album I thrifted called Black Magic. It's by Andre Castellanets and his orchestra. It's got a pretty cool cover. It's like almost like black patent leather, really shiny. It's got an orange leg and a high heel kicking confetti, and then this weird yellow shape that could be a square-faced dog or an oddly sewn t-shirt or a very tall telephone. I don't know. It's a weird shape. The leg has a garter on it that's a little more detailed than anything else on the album cover, so that's odd. But I would say I would give this one 4 out of 5 Nagels. It's pretty good. I especially like the title track, That Old Black Magic, which is the track I'm playing for you. Pretty moody. Other tracks on the album include Mad About the Boy, Out of This World, and Easy to Love. I like Out of This World, too. If you find this in the wild, you should definitely grab it for your collection. If nothing else, for this particular track, I think it's really good. It's kind of spooky, kind of romantic, a little waltzy. Definitely feels like you should be making out with someone. And it sort of feels like the kind of thing that would be on the radio if you were like in Lover's Lane, like in the 1970s, making out with your girl, and I don't know, something terrible was about to happen. Like, Son of Sam comes up and starts firing at the car or something. You know, so it's like all this romance and good stuff's going on, and then there's a tragedy that's about to occur. Today I'm going to be talking with Juliet Spearson, who is a collector of Victorian oddities, which I think you'll enjoy hearing us talk about her collecting obsessions. Well, I really don't have much else to say about this record. I just want to get into the podcast because I have a lot of things to tell you guys about. So, first things first. Thanks to everyone who supports the show. I really, really appreciate it. You're all amazing. And I am just really grateful to have so many people reaching out to me and talking to me about the show right now. It's just very exciting. I'm loving it. So I want to make an announcement that I don't know how you guys are going to feel about it, but feel free to communicate with me on Facebook at Thrift Therapy in the Facebook group. You can like the page and then request to join the group. You can at me on Instagram, Thrift Therapy Pod. You can email me, thrifttherapypod@gmail.com. You can always message me through my website, thrifttherapypod.com. And the announcement that I want to share with you guys is that, as you know, for the rest of October, I have October Halloween relevant episodes prepared for you guys. Once that ends, I'm going to be moving to a bi-weekly schedule. Now, I have a couple reasons for that, so let me share those with you before you start furiously typing and sending me messages that are trying to talk me out of it. first of all, I have a new project at work that's going to be taking up a little bit of my time, and I need to focus on that a bit. Second of all, I will be traveling in the months of November and December, so I'm going to be quite busy doing a lot of things that I need to do that I've already had planned to do before really I even started this podcast. So that's part of my reasoning. And then another thing is I've noticed, just like myself, because I'm an avid podcast listener, is that most people are a handful of episodes behind in listening. Anywho, so I think it'll be okay, you guys, if I move to a bi-weekly schedule for now and see how that goes, because I have been getting pretty stressed just trying to keep up with everything over the past month since I've started this extra gig and I'm heading into the holiday season. Yeah, it's been a lot. So I'm going to give that a try. If it's awful, I'll go back to every week. If it's not awful, maybe I'll park there for a bit. So I hope this doesn't ruffle your feathers. I hope you'll stay with me. I hope you'll be a loyal listener. And I will work hard on making sure that the quality of the two or three episodes I put out each month is worth the wait. How about that? And maybe I'll do some mini-sodes in between that are just, you know, like 10-minute thrift journeys that I just have to tell you about or something like that. Okay, so that's the big news I have for you right now. The other thing I want to talk to you about is I had a couple thrift moments today that I think are really worth sharing. All right, so I'm just going to jump right into that. The first one is I was going to meet a couple friends around noon to go thrifting, but they needed to meet later in the day, so I just got up, threw on my clothes, and thought, well, I guess I'll go do one of my sourcing outlets and see if I can find anything before I meet up with them. So I go over there, and well, I had the usual awesome finds for my thrift baggers, and I got a couple little things for myself, but my favorite thing is that they had tons of jewelry in, and they've been kind of low on jewelry lately, so I was really excited to find so many cool things. I got a couple purses, I got about 10 necklaces, and while I was looking through the necklaces, I found this strange, like, mesh silver piece that looked really rad, and it was $1, so it's like, okay, if I can figure this out, I definitely need to get it for somebody, and I thought it's probably some kind of harness, because it had a like 3 or 4 hook and eyes on it. But it was just a mess and we couldn't figure it out. So I'm over there struggling and this really cute guy walks up to me. His name is Robert. He was adorable. And he's like, it looks like you're having a hard time. And I was like, yeah, what is this? I know it's something cool, but I can't figure it out. So we started messing with it. And we finally figured out that it's a harness with like a choker piece and then a metal piece that goes down the front and then another piece that wraps around your waist. So it ended up being really cute. And I don't know if I would have figured it out without Robert's assistance. So I wanted to give you a shout out, Robert, and thank you so much for your help. That was really, really cool. And I ended up buying that and, like I said, like 8 or 9 other pieces. So all you thrift baggers, get ready to get some cool jewelry in the mail for the month of October. If you're looking for a Halloween costume and you live in the San Antonio area, they had some really cool Halloween stuff there too. I was quite surprised. They had some like Maleficent horns for $2.50, just this giant Minnie Mouse bow, just some really cute little things. So I don't dress up for Halloween anymore. I feel like after I raised a kid, I was just like, okay, I'm done now. But I do still love the holiday. It's the only one I really enjoy. And I like talking about it. And mostly, like I said in the previous pod, is because I like spooky things. So this episode is going to focus a lot on spookiness, because that's my vibe. I enjoy spooky things. So let's see. I had another thrifting experience after that where I finished up there. And then I went to meet the girls at Thrift City. Thrift Town. Across town, so not near me, but Thrift Town. We went over there, and I was meeting them there, and I get there a little bit early, as is my way, and I was shopping through, so finally I finished, and I finished before they got there even, which is kind of hilarious, but as I was checking out, the person behind the counter They said my, look, I didn't find very much. It was, I maybe it was picked over. They were having a big sale, which is why we were going there in the first place. But I just didn't find much that at that store that day. No big deal. So my total was like $4.31. So I give the cashier a five. And I know you guys know where I'm going, right? But just bear with me because this one's funny. And I was like, oh, let me give you the 31 cents when she was about to hand me a bunch of change because I remembered in my car earlier, I was complaining to myself, oh my God, your wallet has too much change in it. You have to get rid of some of this because it was super fat and hard to close. And I was like, oh, let me get rid of some of this change. So I counted up the change and she was like, oh, I think I'm going to have to start over. And I was like, really? I think you're just going to give me a dollar. And she goes, oh, okay. And then, and so I'm not math shaming her, but bear with me here. This is the funny part. She says, yeah, I went to Catholic school and I don't think they taught me math or whatever. And so we had a little chuckle. And I said, well, I guess it just proves that math is more useful than Bibles. And I chuckled and she was like, well, not really. And I was like, oh, oops. And so I just laughed it off. But I thought it was really funny anyway. And she chuckled too. She seemed to think it was funny too. But that was interesting because when I left there on my way home from that place, I traveled all the way up this road here called San Pedro, which is a fairly busy but a fairly long road that kind of crosses a lot of the city. Not downtown, it's outside of downtown, but just a lot of neighborhood areas and retail shops. And it was weird because, I don't know, after about 5 minutes traveling down the road, I started to see a lot of anti-abortion posters. And so there was like a cluster. And then I was like, I wonder if there's a clinic over here because I didn't think there was. And then I drove a little bit more and there was another cluster. And then for like the next 8 minutes, it was like I was in the middle of an anti-abortion parade where people were just standing on the sidelines and I was driving through it. And it was really weird. Like I thought, ah, what's happening? And then I thought, oh my God, is it because that asshat Kavanaugh was approved for the Senate? Now, I don't talk about politics much on here, but I am going to tell you, not happy. And I'm thinking maybe I need to move. Like, should I move to Canada? Should I move to Australia? Where do I need to be so that I don't end up in The Handmaid's Tale? And I thought, is this, like, could this really be happening? It was so surreal. And then, so it's like science versus religion theme there. And I just, it was just so weird. I don't know. I was having a difficult time thinking about all that and keeping my nice thrift store buzz. And in keeping with the Kavanaugh rage that I've been feeling, I saw this funny record that was called The Magnificent Men. I took a picture of it. I'll post it on my website so you can see it. And it has like seven white dudes with short hair, conservative and mustard yellow three-piece suits, or yeah, I think they're three-piece suits. And my first thought was, didn't even think about the music. My first thought was, oh great, just what the world needed, seven confident white dudes, because they look pretty confident. So that was in keeping with the theme. I didn't buy that record. I did buy a couple other ones. I also saw a Best of Willie Nelson songbook, and I really wanted to get it because it had like 10 really cool pictures of Willie Nelson in it. But it was a music book, and I thought, oh, I should really leave this for somebody who's just a musician and this is going to make their day. So I felt like I was being really nice and leaving that there for somebody. But I did take a picture of it because I liked it so much. And then I saw this book. I didn't buy this either. Remember, my total was $4.31. So I was being very selective, I guess. That's what my deal was when I was there. And the name of the book is When I Say No, I Feel Guilty. And I thought, oh my God, this is so relevant. I think still relevant today. And it's a therapy book called Systematic Assertiveness Therapy. And I thought that was, I liked the way the cover was. It was kind of humorous and definitely on theme. I was feeling this very much just like things were What is, I think in the last episode I talked about it, it's an availability heuristic and a confirmation bias where your brain sort of zones into things that match what's already on your mind. And it seemed like that's what was going on for me while I was at Thrift Town. I think Thrift Town. So at the first place that I went where Robert and I wrestled with the little necklace slash harness, I found, I got this really cool Victoria Beckham dress for one of my extra small thrift baggers for $1. It was a really cool find. And then, let's see, what else did I get? Mostly, I got a lot of stuff. I needed some extra small things and some extra large things for my thrift baggers. I had most everything covered, and I actually found what I was looking for. So that was pretty cool. I'll post a picture of the haul so you can look at some of the things that I got. And if you're a thrift bagger and you see something you especially like, certainly drop a comment on Instagram if you want something particular, especially the necklaces. I found some cute polka dot tights too. And let me know, and maybe I'll throw it in your bag in particular, especially if it's your size, right? Like, I can let you know if it's the right size or not. So the next thing I want to tell you guys about is I want to talk a little bit about ghost stories that people in the Facebook group have been telling me. I wanted to talk about haunted thrifted objects because I think, look, if you're a thrifter, eventually you're probably going to get some sort of haunted object. And if you're going to get a haunted object, you're probably a thrifter, right? Like, Chucky was the dumbest horror movie ever, I think, because those are mass-produced dolls. Like, how's the whole production company haunted? I didn't get it. But I think, like, Annabelle's a really good story because that doll was thrifted. That's a scary doll, right? So I was asking people in the Facebook group to tell me their thrift haunted stories. And I'm going to read some for you guys because there are some pretty cool ones. Are you ready? Here we go. Crystal Lynn says, I have a story. I received in the 80s when I was about 4 or 5 this life-size doll. I hated this doll and would never play with it. Always just left it at my aunt's house where I lived during the school week. This doll went with her from that house to her apartment and then into long-term care. I ended up inheriting it. When I found this doll, it had several streaks of gray hair in its red hair. I threw that doll in the dump. Fast forward a few years later, and my mother finds that exact doll at Salvation Army and brings it home. I know it's the exact one because it had the homemade belt my aunt made for it and the gray hair. It really hasn't done much but come back from the impossible because our dump does not allow picking. Its gray hair shouldn't have occurred. And oh, its name on its back is Irene. My aunt's infant daughter's name, who passed at 6 months. I carry her name as a namesake. Yeah, Crystal, that's really scary. I don't like dolls. I don't like unhaunted dolls, and I definitely don't like haunted dolls. But maybe the baby just wanted to be taken care of. I don't know. Like, it's a bit gray hair doll? No thanks. So I guess I was curious. When did the gray hair show up? Were you there when it grew in, I guess? Like, I don't understand if the gray hair, how it occurred, when it occurred. That's the part that freaks me out the most, I guess, is the part that I want to know the most about because it freaked me out so much. Yeah, a doll that gets gray hair, very, very scary. Thanks for sharing that, Crystal. Okay, so Jen says, in 11th grade, our school field trip was to Gettysburg, Virginia. So to be cool, I decided to liberate this rainbow Benetton sweater from Macy's. Shout out to Benetton. I totally remember them, Jen. And yeah, I couldn't afford anything in there. So I get it. You probably were like, I need this so badly. Anyway, she says, I was a good kid, never in trouble, but for some reason I had to have it, but also felt super guilty. We are on the field trip, and I wear this sweater. That night, I get in trouble for being out of my room after curfew, and I get detention for the first time ever, and I have to clean the coach bus. 1 year later, 12th grade, I wear it again, and my boyfriend that I was crazy about breaks up with me. I began to loathe the sweater and tucked it away, beginning to believe it is bad luck. 2 years later, I decide to wear it again. That night, it snows, and the pizza delivery car destroys my car. I donated it right away. No good comes from shoplifting. That sweater had it in for me. Yeah, I know, Jen, right? In those kind of moments, it's hard not to believe in karma. I had a similar experience with a pair of earrings I stole a long time ago when I was very young as well. And I guess I was a teenager. And I stole these earrings, and I kept losing one earring and kept looking for it everywhere. And then I would find it, and then I would lose it again. And this just went on and on. And finally, I was like, that's it. I am done with these earrings. Because I sort of felt like they were tormenting me. Yeah. Not good, right? Okay, what else do we have? Nicole says, okay, my shed is haunted. And then a bunch of us are like, tell us the details. And here's what Nicole has to say. I live in an old converted church in the outback with the cemetery one block away. It always felt darker than anywhere else on the property. One day when I had just moved in with my boyfriend, I got locked in there. I was looking for a way out, but nothing I tried worked. The whole time I'm getting desperate and panicky, and I start to hear someone laugh. You don't belong here, I heard just by my ear, and more laughing. Eventually, I screwed the lock on the door, taking the whole lock apart, and got out. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot even believe that. And then Nicole says, that's just one of the things that's happened. So of course I freaked out and I was like, what else? And Nicole says, I stay the fuck away from the shed at all costs. I always see someone dart across when looking at reflection, and nothing's there when you turn around. Be it glass window or mirrors, you can hear wooden floorboards, someone walking from the door up the middle of the house. I put some rugs down so that I can't hear it as bad now. My kids have seen a little kid stick his head out of behind doors that should be closed. I've only been here 5 years and there are just too many to tell. And then I say, I don't think I could stay there. And Nicole says this, you learn to block it out. And I just, that's it. I lost it. I was like, no, I can't block it out, Nicole. I mean, I could see like if, you know, you're not freaked out that it's probably pretty cool to have all those stories to tell. But I think I would definitely be freaked out. I don't know that I could ever watch scary movies again. And that would bum me out because I prefer to have, I prefer to have scary movies in my life. But not if they're really happening to me. That would be a no. Rachel says, the morning my grandfather died, my sister tried calling me, but my phone was on silent. The reason I woke up, I heard a crash and a shatter. My grandmother's porcelain jewelry box somehow went from the center on the top of my bookcase against the wall and landed on top of my grandfather's blanket that he had given me 6 months earlier, lying on the edge of my bed. I should mention there were objects in front of said jewelry box that hadn't moved an inch. I woke up and was devastated because the top of the porcelain jewelry box was shattered and only the bottom and porcelain butterfly handle remained. And then it hit me and I knew, and I picked up my phone, saw the calls, and just knew. By the way, less than a year later, my friend and I went to a church where mediums in training practice their gifts. And one of the students said my grandfather was next to me, describing him to a T, and said he says he's been with me the whole time and will continue to be so. Damn! That was pretty good. Now I want to read one more. Okay, this will be the last one. Another Jen, not the same one, says, I got a mirror at the thrift store and my daughter swore that it brought a lady into our house. I mean, yeah, that's creepy. I have no gifts in that direction. I couldn't see her or sense her. And then I got pregnant with my youngest. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw the lady. She followed me around. She told me that she was there for the baby. I asked her to leave me alone, and then she did. Once I had the baby, he would stare at the mirror and cry hysterically. My daughter assured me that she was still around and that my youngest could see her too. I think I was only to see her while pregnant because it was my son's gift that I was able to use. Jen, do you still have that mirror? Because no thanks. I just watched a movie Friday night about this woman who has the most awful pregnancy. It's so terrible. She goes through all this pain and ends up dead because her demon seed was probably like the Antichrist or something. It doesn't tell you. But it was awful. Yeah. And then, of course, the last scene of the movie, there's some creepy woman standing in the corner like a shadowy figure. Nope. Mm-mm. Scared. Ugh. When I was pregnant, I used to have terrible, because I felt like I was trapped under my belly, and I used to have terrible nightmares that the belly, not the baby, was suffocating me. It was just awful. No thanks. Ooh, thanks for sharing those stories, you guys. I have a few more banked, and so maybe on one of the other episodes, if yours didn't get read today, stay tuned. It might get into one of the other episodes. All right, well, I think that brings us to the interview I have for you guys today with Juliet Spearson. Juliet is a photographer, a writer, and a collector of spooky shit. She loves mourning jewelry and antique dental models and cast iron bugs. She also collects vintage photos from wherever she travels, and she has a pretty cool collection, which I will post some pictures of. She is on Etsy, she's on Instagram, and we will give you the links to that at the end of the show, so stay tuned. Hi, Juliet. Welcome to Thrift Therapy.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm super excited to talk to you. You sound like a pretty creepy person. I love creepy people that aren't, you know, stalking me sexually. I don't like those kind of creeps. Gross.
That's where I draw the line too.
Then we can be friends. It'll be great. So I wanted to have you on the show because I was looking for people who were really into thrifting and wanted to talk about their thrifting obsessions. And that's how we got in contact for the listeners. So I think what I'll start with is, why don't you just tell us how you got into thrifting?
Okay. Well, I think I started off kind of with a gateway drug, which is just books. When I was younger, my mom would always take me to the library, and there was a limit, you know, on how many library books you can take home. And I was a little bookworm kid, interested in everything. And once or twice a year, there would be book sales, and the library would be getting rid of every single book that was in its basement or whatever. And so I started reading all of these books and taking them home from the 1950s and the 40s, and some were even earlier, and they had those gorgeous cracked spines and leather bound and those old gilded pages. And I started to get into the history and the look of them as much as the stories inside. And from there, everything I started to look at and like, I really like looked for them to have that old feeling and that story behind it.
That's cool. I've moved a lot in my 48 years. One of the things that I always got tired of carrying around was books.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand. I understand that the I guess it's the visceral experience of the book, the tactile sensation, even the smells. I don't know if that sounds weird, but
not at all. I have an old book candle, so you're talking to the right person.
Well, I mean, they have these little smells. You know, maybe it's the mm-hmm. people who had them before.
Maybe. And I loved when I would get one that had maybe an old library card or someone's name written in it in that fancy old handwriting that everyone used to have.
Yes, that's called cursive, and I know how to do that.
Me neither.
I'm not 148, but I do know how to cursive.
Yes, I save all the letters my grandma sends me because I'm like, one day no one will believe me that all these letters were connected.
You know, I think cursive is a lost art. And I think for one reason is time.
Yeah.
I think people had a lot of time to write really nicely a long time ago. If they were going to write, it could be nice.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think that's the appeal beyond books with all of the vintage stuff is that it's not fast fashion or it's not particle board. It's all made with that time and it's all made with that personal touch.
That's a good point. I think that's what I miss about wanting to have a lot of books. Don't get me wrong. I still have four giant bookshelves of books in my house. But I did parse. I parse.
You do have to narrow it down at some point.
Well, sometimes you can make them multi-purpose, like you can turn them into art objects, which is, I think, what you were getting at when you were talking about the leather binding, certain kind of crinkling. Do you ever make art out of books?
Yeah, you know, I used to. I did a lot of collage when I was growing up, but actually now I'm a writer, so I tend to just use them as inspiration.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, you know, if you're a visual artist, then you might use them for a different kind of inspiration, but maybe you don't want to cut up the words.
I would feel awful. Sometimes, you know, you see gorgeous stuff that people do with books, maybe for their wedding, they'll make a bouquet out of pages of their favorite books and it's gorgeous. But a part of me always dies when I see that.
Yeah. You're not irreverent enough.
Yeah, I think so.
So tell me a little bit about your main hustle. What do you do? Like, you know, for, you know, your main, I guess, like what, I just call that the main hustle. Is
right.
That okay? Okay.
Yeah, of course. Well, my main hustle is I'm a copywriter. So I do write for a living, but most of what I write ends up being marketing materials. I'll write catalogs, I'll write emails, I'll write product descriptions, you know, brand guidelines, commercials, anything like that that's needed.
Oh, okay. It sounds glamorous, but there's a part of me that thinks, is it boring?
It can be. It depends on what you're working on. Right now, luckily, I'm working at art.com, so I get to write about art all day. But I have in the past had to write about things that are very boring to me, like training materials or men's shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I think I could be wrong about this. I'm sure he'll correct me if he even listens to this podcast anymore. Maybe he feels he did his time. But my husband, I feel like he used to do that a long time ago before I met him. I think he worked on like product manuals, like how to do things.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that is copywriting, but it's technical writing. It's a better paid and much drier version where everything has to be double checked by legal. I did do that one time where I put together a guide of how to hang a gallery wall that was like a paper that would come out with all the art you ordered and show you how to hang it. And I must have made 50 holes in the wall trying to make sure that it was right.
I mean, I do that anyway.
Yeah, true.
So I feel like you were winning a little bit there.
I did it so no one else would have to.
Oh, that's so kind of you. I think I've done some of those jobs too.
Yeah.
Not sure it worked, but whatever.
Whatever.
So do you have any side hustles maybe related to thrifting or anything else that you do?
Yes. Well, you know, because I spend so much of my free time thrifting, I ended up opening an Etsy store just because I wanted an excuse to keep buying more things. And I can justify it if some things eventually leave my house.
That's a good idea. And on past episodes, I've talked to people about different levels of fears about becoming hoarders. And, you know, we're all at a different place in our journey with that as collectors. But I think predominantly the theme is I have to find some way to balance the things that I bring in versus the things that I let go of. And that's what sort of maintains the order and keeps you out of that state of suffering because of your habits and your interest. So yeah, I mean, an Etsy store is a good as way as any to balance the hoard, because it's a fine line. You have to be on top of your shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to put it, to balance the suffering. Yeah, because I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, where space is very hard to come by. And so I have a one-bedroom apartment with my boyfriend, and it's adorable. The apartment itself is actually antique. But not a lot of storage space. So my ultimate dream would be to have a place where kind of everything is a showpiece and it comes and it goes and it gets swapped out. And I do have friends. My one friend is an art director, and he came over last week to borrow like a trunk and a chair and a globe. So I think I'm getting there.
That's a great idea. I just met up with a friend this weekend when I was Austin. I went to Austin for this little pod festival.
Ooh.
It was fun. It was a little meetup of Texas podcasters. And while I was there, I spent the night with a friend of mine who's an, I guess she's a fashion photographer and a creative director for fashion shoots.
Wow.
And we talked about styling and all that cool stuff. And that's what, when you said that, I was thinking, you know, because we were brainstorming ideas on how I can get thrift therapy involved in a photo shoot using all thrifted items or something like that. And I was thinking maybe that would be a fun way for me to move stuff around too, because let me tell you something. If somebody needs some thrifted jewelry, you probably should hit me up. I mean, oh my God, I've like Rachel Zoe level
of jewelry.
Of jewelry. Yeah.
That's a high level. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the way to go, I think, for sure.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. I haven't spent near the gazillion dollars that she has. So, you know, mine is like cheap Rachel Zoe level. It's just the amount of stuff that I have. Sorry, Rachel, didn't mean to offend. Let's see. Some other things that I wanted to know about you is you said you collect spooky things in vintage photos.
Yes.
Tell me more.
So, I mean, maybe it's my background, but the thing that I connect the most with is always the story. And so I'm always looking for a compelling story, and everything that I thrift, especially photos, I find are the best way to do that. And I collect a lot of death paraphernalia because, I mean, that's the final fascination, right? And so a lot of the things that I collect, I feel like come just with a life story attached. So I collect a lot of memento mori and a lot of mourning jewelry because I'm especially obsessed with the Victorian and Edwardian age. So I have a lot of those, and those often come with different things like jet and seed pearls and a lot of hair. So there will be, you know, braids of hair, locks of hair that are accompanied by a photo of whoever the person was. Lover's eye jewelry, which would be a painting of the loved one that would be able to be kept close. And then whenever I travel, of course I thrift, because especially sometimes I feel like I've picked over my entire area. And so even if I'm just going like to visit my dad in Idaho or something, I go out thrifting. And especially if I'm going somewhere special, I went to Paris in October and I brought back these incredible photos that I found of different family trips, different like people at sea, some gorgeous. When I was in Venice, I found some that showed Venice in the 50s. And I always try to buy things like that because I feel like rather than going and getting a $1 postcard that shows a picture of what you just saw 5 minutes ago, you know, it's kind of fun to time travel and go find proof that there was this other world and there were these other people, and bring home people from all around the world that I can kind of keep their memories alive with me.
I like that. I think what I resonate with there is the idea that people want to be remembered after they are, I guess, dead. No elegant way to say that. I mean, I just think people want a sense of legacy or immortality that goes beyond their finite existence. So when I hear you talk about the death mementos, I resonate with that, and I'm wondering what kinds of things I can leave behind that are unique and maybe creepy. The hair thing kind of got me, though. I mean, oh, I don't know. If I found something with a lock of hair in it, I really think I might, I don't know what I might do. Like, I might have a sort of little fake throw up, maybe a halfway throw up.
Yes, a lot of people think I'm crazy in my family. My dad especially thought he would do something nice, and he found a little locket for me that was of a child, and it had a piece of her hair. And he sent it to me, and he was so disturbed that I had even wanted it. He was like, I don't know why this makes me so sad, but it makes me so sad. And so what we did was we looked into and found her name. And then we knew her name, and we could talk about her by name. And so I think that goes back to what you were saying about keeping these people alive in some way, even if no one else is around to.
I was wondering a little bit about what's the weirdest thing that you've ever found or decided you needed.
Oh my gosh. This is going to sound even more disturbed, but I'm obsessed with terrible taxidermy.
Oh, like ones that are all fucked up?
Yeah. Oh my God. They just make me laugh so hard. And I've never brought one home. That is actually one thing where I do feel kind of negatively about having too much dead, like, animal, you know. For it's funny, for one thing, humans don't really bother me, and I'm also someone who gets rid of my own personal things, and yet I collect other people's stories for some reason. And then I have this weird mental line when it comes to, like, having a dead animal staring at me in the corner of the room. I don't know why I've drawn a line there, but I have. But when I'm out thrifting, I seek them out. If their eyes are on the wrong sides, if the nose is drooping, if it suddenly has like a third horn for no reason, I love that.
I kind of get that actually. I don't feel as weird about that. I don't know why. Look, weird is such a subjective term. I don't even know if we mean the same things when we say it as individuals. We're probably all referencing something completely unique in our own scale of weird. So for me, that registers lower than nail clippings or hair. I don't know why, but maybe it's just because living in Texas, I run into taxidermy quite often. You
know? Maybe.
But I'm immune. If I run into hairballs all the time, not either. I don't know. I guess I'm thinking, like, what do your friends or people that come over for the first time, what do they say?
They tend, it's funny. I've been living with roommates for a very long time. I think for the past 10 years, I've usually had at least like 3 people in the house. And, I've had up to maybe 4 or 5 people in the same house with me. And, being in the Bay Area, it's a limited housing situation. And so only in the past 6 months, really, have my boyfriend and I found a place that is, really just for us and really just in our own style. And so now when people come in, I feel like they're taken aback because they're like, oh, wow, this is actually so you. And before it was, you know, it was a house and maybe I had my weird, creepy collection somewhere. But now it's like the place was built in like 1900 and everything is wood and everything is built in. And finally, all the things that I've had for years kind of match the surroundings, you know, and they get to live out in the open and it gets to like feel like it's in a real environment that makes sense where it is. So now when people come in, they're usually like, oh, I get it.
Oh, that's cool. So you're kind of like, fuck you. I don't care what you think. This is my insides and this is now you can see it. And then there's a context for everyone. So
exactly. Instead of like, here's Juliet's weird drawer full of dead shit. Now they're like, oh, in context, I get that it's actually beautiful. Or at least I hope that's what they think.
Maybe you're projecting.
I hope so. I hope not.
No, I mean, I've always been interested in decor stories. Like, what does someone environment tell me about them? Now, sometimes it just tells me really sad things like, yeah, they don't care about decor.
Yeah.
It's rough. You know, I don't get much else out of it. Things that I always look at, though, are their bookshelves. Even if they don't have like a decor or an aesthetic that I can read, there's always something, you know, in someone's environment that can tell you a little bit about who they are, their coffee cup collection or their books or whether or not they have toilet paper can really tell you a lot about
or even books. I think there's a great John Waters quote about if you go home with someone and they don't have books, don't fuck them.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Words to live by right there.
Seriously. And he wrote a book, so he would know.
Now, I want to tell you another story about my husband because I think you'll like it as a writer. He's a pretty prolific writer and journaler of things that are private things, like not published things. He does write for publication in his profession, but just in his own private life, he's very prolific in the way that he writes, journals, makes notations, and things that he wants to remember. And when I first started dating him, I think it was within the first month, we were seeing each other, and I went over to his apartment for the first time, and he excused himself to the bathroom or something, and so I did what I always do. I go right for the bookshelves. I need to dig around in there and see what's going on. Well, on the bottom row of the bookshelf, there was a whole bunch of binders. And I was like, well, I'm going to have to look in them.
Yeah, what's in the binder?
I am nosy as fuck. So I pull out one of the binders and I open it, and it has like all these little plastic sheets in it. And it has like report cards and like receipts and just random shit in it. And I start looking at it. So I don't know how to make sense of this. So I pull out another one, and it has a bunch of written notes. And then I pull out another one, and what I figure out is that he had a binder for every year of his life growing up that he could write, like, starting from the second grade.
Oh, my God. And then he comes out from the bathroom and finds you surrounded by his binder, right?
Yeah. Well, I said, dude, you're either the love of my life or a serial killer.
Oh my gosh. And he hasn't killed you yet.
He hasn't killed me yet. We've been together for almost 15 years. So
congratulations. Yeah. That's amazing.
What a weirdo.
Does he still have the binders?
Yes, he does. They are currently stored in our garage, however, because I don't want other people to discover his weirdness that way. It's private. I have claimed that experience. But he stopped, I guess. I can't remember. I think it went up through high school, and then he just kind of stopped doing it. It was like something he did during that time, like pre-adulting. So they're kind of a historical lot, you know. So they're in these big plastic bins. They're stored that he keeps those in, and I want him to keep those. I'm not much of a collector of old paper. Like, I hate paper collecting, but I think it's really important that he keeps those things.
Yeah, he's like the record keeper of his own life, you know? And then in thrifting, you become kind of a record keeper of other people's lives.
That's a nice way to put it. Maybe I'll call the episode that, record keeper.
Ooh, yeah, I like, because that's always what I'm drawn to, is I like finding something and seeing a story and getting a glimpse of a person, you know, postcards that have been written on already, maybe a diary.
He's like that. I mean, he's the record keeper of our family. Every year when my son would graduate from one grade to the next, he and I would argue over what we should keep, because I was like, throw it all out. And he was like, keep it all. So then we would have to go through things like one by one. And I would have to do the same thing with him that I would do with my son and his toys. You can keep one, but you have to get rid of two. Because he wants to keep it all, as like, by the time we're dead, we're going to be buried under a mountain of paper. I just cannot have that. But seriously. Yeah, he likes that stuff. So I think that he reminds me of you a little bit. That's what I'm getting, is that you guys seem to have a similar idea of archiving. You know, it's like, it's really, it's like this archival kind of mental processing that some of us, I don't think, have. I certainly don't think that way. I tend to organize things in maybe like more visually.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like a writerly thing to do, you know, because I mean, that profession kind of chose me too. You know, I came out this way, and that's how I look at the world. And I think that is kind of reflected in the things that I choose to kind of collect and keep around me.
That's a good point. Like, it's almost like a personality.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm curious about that because I think that there I've known other people like that. I have a good friend that shout out to Aaliyah who's also like that. She likes to archive things, and even her decor has some kind of temporal reference.
Ooh.
You know, it's like this was collected at this time for this reason and this person, and it references some period in time. And
Yeah.
you know, I'm just not like that. I'm like, I don't know, I got it somewhere sometime, but it was a dollar. That's how I tell my stories. Isn't it amazing? It was a dollar. Like that's one thing we have in common, the thrill of the deal.
Yes. Oh,
So
I love that.
tell me a little bit about you. Now it seems to me, just based on your Instagram page, that you have a really good photographer's eye.
Yes, I
Is that
guess,
a
yes.
hobby for you? Or tell me a little bit about you and photographs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a hobby for me. Most of the pictures are of my dog because she's my adventure buddy. But part of the same reason that I'm always seeking out new things, I'm also seeking out new places and experiences. And I do take a lot of pictures, and that's kind of also a way for me to make memories. And half the time, people ask me, "What did you do this weekend?" And I have to quickly glance at my phone. And I mean, maybe it's because I have a bad memory, and maybe it's just part of wanting to archive things. But I took up photography as soon as I got an iPhone. I actually failed digital photography twice and never could get my head around, camera technicalities. I'm someone who really just goes kind of by like feel, and I'm really bad with technical and machinery type things. And so having a camera really limited me. And now that I have my phone in my pocket all the time, I can just be like, "Oh, what a beautiful moment." And so yeah, I mean, my ultimate goal is to become a creative director, which implements kind of visual and the language. So trying to combine them any way I can.
That's really interesting because it would be hard for me to imagine that you failed digital photography when I look at your photos. You're like the Michael Jordan of Instagram photos then. Do you know that story that he got kicked out of off the high school basketball team?
What?
I know. I mean, like this could be folklore for all I know. I don't know shit about basketball, but I've heard this story. A parent told it to me. I tell it to my son all the time whenever
Yeah.
he's feeling like, I can't do this. And I'm like, well, Michael Jordan got kicked off his high school basketball team and look at him now. You know, like, I mean, maybe it's some other Michael Jordan. What do I know? But that's the story and I'm sticking with it.
I think at the end of the day, the places that you've been kicked out of define you as much as the places you've been accepted. And maybe that's not a bad thing, it just shows where you've been.
I'm really glad you said that. And for all you teenagers and young adults out there, internalize that shit because
Yeah.
I think it's true. In fact, I think all the places that I didn't belong really pushed me to define myself more, not less.
Yeah. Absolutely. I got kicked out of a sorority once, and looking back, I'm like, why did I even try to join that thing? My God.
Let me touch some of your hair, bitch.
I know.
I know what you did. You were in there snipping people's hair off.
I'm like, tell me about your dead grandma.
Let me conjure up your great aunt Victoria.
Give me her diary right now.
I know, I know. Well, that brings me to another thing I wanted to ask you. You said you collect old photographs. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that is kind of just another, I think that's the way that I visually connect to things too. It's really just finding a picture that interests me and that I feel like there's a story there. I like old vacation photos, family vacation photos that are like pre, 50s. I love seeing all the families all dressed up and on an adventure, especially if I'm on a similar adventure. I have old black and white photos that I've collected all over the world, and I had this great experience in Paris. I walked into a store, and I was by myself, and I kind of just took the metro, and I went over and started walking around, and I walked into a vintage store, and it was you know, it was our dream. The records were playing. Everything was old.
Love it.
Loved it. And I started going through the photos. And I only try to pick a couple, you know, because I want them to be special. And I think I picked out about three. And I was in the Moray district, which is really cool. And so I took them up to the guy to pay. And he was like, I'm going to look through them because everyone who picks photos up from that corner, they all pick different ones. And I feel like it tells me something about you to see which ones you choose. And, of course, he said it in a sexy French accent, so it sounded different. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know what he gleaned about me from looking at the ones that I chose, but it kind of stuck with me because I was like, I bet he's even a collector of collectors because he sees people come through and he sees what they choose, and then he learns something about them before the next person comes in.
I love that story so much because I do think I'm a bit like I totally resonate with that. Maybe it's my therapist mindset, you know, I do feel like I really learn a lot about people from the way they interact with objects. Absolutely.
You're kind of doing the same thing, you know, you're with this podcast, you're collecting collectors.
I love it so much. Oh, that's amazing. I hadn't thought about it that way. Yes.
Now you just need a cute store in the Marais.
Yeah, I'm almost ready. Now I need a sexy French accent. That's probably what I should start with. Well, I want to know, because I really do think I'm going to be putting this episode out in October. So I really want to know, like, if you've ever experienced anything supernatural with your collecting of hair and old photos, all these things that you collect. Has anything weird ever happened?
Nothing weird has happened, but I do have one piece that just makes me sad. And most of them I'm not sad, but it's one, and maybe it's because it's a child. And every time I ended up taking it to work with me and keeping it in my desk because I don't want her to be alone all day because I get such a strong feeling that, like, you know, she wants to just be around people. And so I keep her in my desk at work and take her out every now and then. And that way she's around people all day long.
Oh, that is kind of sad. I mean, I guess I've just seen too many horror movies where, mm-hmm. like, I imagine that all hauntings are going to be horrifying. but I guess you could just have a sad girl haunting.
Yeah, and maybe we just hang out and watch Casper.
Yeah, I mean, like, why do we always, you know, in the movies, everything is, like, horrific. Like, all the aliens want to kill us.
Yeah.
All the ghosts want to possess us. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not that dichotomous, good or evil, you know? So I like that story.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of the ghosts are people that we love.
They were just people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so unless they were dicks in real life, they're not... Dicks is ghost, right?
Like, exactly. I think ghost dicks are technically poltergeists.
Okay, right on. Well, I think I would be the kind of ghost who would come in and rearrange all your furniture. But no, that doesn't really look good there.
You're the Chip and Joanna Gaines of the ghost world.
Perhaps. Maybe I would also put some outfits out for you on the bed.
I think about that all the time. Like, what if I die in a certain outfit? Is that my death outfit?
Do I get to change?
Yeah, can I pick out another one?
I like that meme that says that. It says, make sure you look good today because if you die, you're wearing that forever.
Yes, my grandma always told me I had to have matching underwear because what if they cut your clothes off in the ambulance?
Yeah, I don't know, Grandma.
I know. I was like, okay, so just buy black everything? Great.
Yeah. I was like, well, I guess I don't really give a shit about those people.
Yeah, if I'm in an ambulance, that's the least of my concerns.
My ghost worries about my outfit are really about me. They're not about other people. That's just a little too much for other people for me to really care, I guess.
Exactly. All I know is if I do get to pick out my ghost outfit, it is going to be fantastic.
I try to be fantastic every day just in case I'm stuck in that shit forever. But today was an exception. Like every like couple weeks, I have a day where I'm like, nope, just a t-shirt. Like, can't. My new thing right now is to, and I just started this last week, is to go at least one day without makeup. Like to go to outside of my house during the week to work without makeup.
I like that.
Yeah, it's interesting for someone my age to do. When I was younger, it, you know, that was half my life. Now at 48, it's quite an undertaking. It's like going around in your bikini to the grocery store. It feels a little naked. You know, like, here's all my wrinkles.
Here yeah. they are. What's look up? Them. Take a look.
You want to count them? Let's do that. Let's hang out. It'll be fun. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just like I really like to challenge the cultural narratives that I sort of internalize over time. I don't want to get stuck with them forever. So I try.
Yeah.
I try. Let's see. So the last thing I want to know before we do the thrift questions, do you have like a favorite ghost story or anything? I mean, you seem to really like creepy things and Victorian era and, you know, haunty kind of shit. So do you have any favorite movies or books or ghost stories that you want to recommend?
I do have a ghost story.
Okay.
I was about 8 years old and my godfather had just died. And I had been told that he had died, but I don't know that I really understood. Maybe I was a little bit younger. But anyway, he had been teaching me how to swim. And I grew up in Southern California, so he had a small pool in the back. So I had this adorable bathing suit at the time. It was like every color in the world. It was green and yellow and pink, and it crisscrossed in the back and had like 6 spandex strings. It was one of those bathing suits that is impossible to get a wiggly kid into because their arm goes through all the straps, you know. And anyway, so one night my mom wakes up because the porch light is on, and I'm out back, and I'm on the front steps of the pool, and I'm wearing my bathing suit, which I could not get on by myself, and it was on perfectly. And she said, "Oh my God, what are you doing? How did you get outside?" You know, like, I can't, like, she was freaking out because her daughter's in the pool at night by herself. And I said, "It's fine. I'm not by myself. Bill is here. He's teaching me how to swim."
Ew.
Yeah. And I was out there. The lights were on. Someone had, like, had helped me put my bathing suit on from what my mom describes. And she got me inside. She said, "Don't tell your dad." And we never talked about it again.
I like that she was more scared of your dad than Bill.
Yeah. I mean, he's friendly. He was just trying to take me swimming.
You know, Bill, you better been a good ghost dude, because yeah, I think that would be pretty freaky.
Yeah.
What are your intentions, Bill?
To breaststroke.
Oh, right. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I've always heard, well, in part of the folklore of ghost stories, I think, is that children can see ghosts, right?
Like, yeah.
That's a part of the lore. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I'm so on the fence about ghosts. I don't know what it is. Of all the spiritual realm, which mostly I'm pretty decided about, that one, I feel like as soon as I commit to a no, I'm going to get haunted.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, if you ask me, do I believe in ghosts? Not really, but I don't have an explanation for that story past maybe some childhood confusion. And I guess I can't be too afraid of them because my house, if ever there's a haunting, is ground zero.
I mean, yeah, like I think, okay, but why doesn't the fear work with other things? Because I guess it, the same logic could apply to, oh, I don't know, maybe I should be Catholic. Just in case. Right? If I'm going to just in case my way through life, like, I probably should do it a little more consistently, maybe.
True, I guess. I mean, but every culture has ghosts, which is kind of interesting.
True. I mean, technically I'm an atheist and even I have ghosts, so yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What does that mean? I think Christopher Hitchens would say it means you lost a point. Yeah, because he has that scale of atheism. Yeah. I don't know. But still, ghosts kind of seem like they could happen because to me they could they could be like just an extension of the material world.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's not even spiritual. Right?
I mean, could be.
Seems plausible.
I mean, anything is possible. And if we're collecting ghosts, I have about 6 in my drawer right now.
Yikes! So what I'd like you to do is send me some pictures of your favorite vintage photographs and your weird hair collection. I mean, I'm not insulting you when I say weird.
Not at all.
A better word? Okay.
It is. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating weird, not gross weird.
Yeah, that's what I like about it.
There was a serial killer that collected hair. Have you ever heard of that person?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know Ed Gein made stuff out of his mom.
Yeah, not that one.
I don't know.
There was a guy who, like, God, I can barely remember this story. Maybe I'll look it up before I air this episode, and I'll tell the story at the beginning. Since it's going to be October, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
But the way I recall the story is he, like, even worked at a hairdresser's shop, and he would, like, keep the hair. He would sweep up the hair, and he would keep it. And then when they finally found him in, you know, all his serial killer horrors, they found tons of hair.
Oh, that's so creepy. Well, I mean, I guess that's reason 4 million not to kill people, is because when they find my thrift stuff, they're going to be like, what is wrong with her?
Right? I did have someone, in fact, I think the episode just aired yesterday. I think it was in that one where I talked to somebody about their vintage photos. And I said, look, I mean, number one, you could get haunted. But number two, like maybe at least one of those people in those photos got murdered. And if they ever find you with the photographs, you're going to be like suspect number one.
Oh, my God. You may have just given me a great idea for a book.
Oh, how fun. Well, that's cool. I like idea spreading. Good. If that ever happens, you just let me know.
Oh, yeah. You're executive
on the show.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
I'll come back and plug the movie that you're executive producer on.
Oh, that would be hilarious. I need jobs. That's what I need in my life. But I tell you, you can come back and plug the movie, and maybe I can do some of the costuming.
Ooh. And we can provide all the backup and jewelry and stuff. Yeah.
Totally. Just, yes.
It's all coming together.
This is what I love about hustlers. Yes, we can get together and we can just make anything happen.
Heck yeah.
If you know enough hustlers, you really can make anything happen. They all connect eventually.
Yeah, it's so true. Everyone knows someone and everyone's good at something.
I love it. Well, let me do the thrift questions with you.
Great.
Are you ready?
Yes.
How often do you thrift?
Oh, weekly.
Yay! So you're high on the expertise level. Do you like to go by yourself or do you like to go with friends?
I do both, but there's a monthly flea market where I live that is just incredible, and I like to get up early and put my headphones on and just wander by myself for hours.
Ooh, that sounds really therapeutic.
It's great. It's my happy place.
Yeah, it's like self-care time.
Absolutely, and I never invite anyone to go.
Well, in my opinion, and when I work with clients on these things, I'm sure to state that it's self-care, not other care.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have a list of things that you kind of look for? Are you totally spontaneous?
I like to keep it a little open-minded, but I do have a list just to jog my memory of things that I think would look good. Like, right now I'm on the lookout for, old trophies.
Like sports trophies or?
Yep. Sports trophies. I especially like the older ones that are brass with, especially with horses or the old cup shape.
Oh my God. I just saw a ton of those yesterday.
Coming over.
Right? I looked at them, but they weren't old enough. Like they were still kind of shiny.
Yeah, I don't want someone to have been able to pick it up before soccer practice, for sure.
Yeah, they were kind of shiny. I like the old trophy cups. I'll usually buy those and put things in them.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah, I love those. Let's see. Do you believe in thrift gods?
Yes, some days they're frowning and some days they're smiling and there's nothing you can do about it.
Really? No sacrifices you can make?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't tried. Maybe I'll have to.
Yeah, maybe you have to let go of something.
That's a good way to do it.
Release that pair of shoes that you haven't worn in 2 years.
If I have to, for the thrift gods.
Right? I mean, that's a good motivator.
It's true. Then you can make room for something else.
Exactly. And maybe they'll, like, bless you with something really awesome that you really love. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. What's your favorite thrift story? Best or worst?
I have some pretty middle-of-the-road ones right by me, so I tend to drive out. But I have this website that I'm obsessed with that I found recently called EBTH.com. It stands for Everything But the Home, and it's an online estate sale website. So they'll put up entire households full of stuff, and the bidding starts super low. You just have to check the shipping because sometimes they're across the country. But I've found some great stuff there, and half the time they don't even know what they have.
Oh, that's amazing. I did download that app, and I went on there once, but I haven't gone back. I need to go figure that one out. It's amongst the million unused apps I have on my phone right now.
I know.
Glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's great if you have stuff that you really want to, like, keep searching for, you know?
Do you have, like, a favorite thing that you've gotten from there?
Actually, yeah, I have this really cool nautical, World War II lantern that I got from there.
Oh, sweet. I want a picture of that.
Yeah, I'll send one.
Perfect. Yeah, just Facebook Messenger me those pics and I will put them up when the episode airs.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. And I have a lantern tattoo, so it felt very kismet-y.
Well, now you have to send me a picture of that too.
I will.
And if you're not careful, maybe I'll start collecting tattooed skin.
Ooh, creepy.
I just one-upped you on the creep factor.
Yeah, I think you beat me there.
Look, you'll be dead. It's not like I would take it while you're alive. I'll kill you for it. Maybe, you know, before anybody gets cremated, maybe they call me first.
Yeah.
First dibs.
I think you've just tapped a whole new market of creepy vintage.
Well, I would like to take credit for that idea. However, I did the Facebook Market ad. I know.
Oh, my God.
About preserving your loved one's tattooed skin in a photograph, framed piece of art. Like, it's not a photograph of the skin. It's the actual skin, but it's framed and matted like a photograph in a frame for you.
I feel like anyone who actually purchases that service really just needs to, like, find a better way to grieve.
I feel like I'm going to purchase it for myself.
Ooh, and then just have a gallery wall?
Yeah, and just be like, here, when I die, you need to take these 6 pieces of skin and put them in these frames.
One for everyone.
It's already paid for. Just go do it. I demand that you all be creepy. That's going to be my legacy. See, that's me wanting to control things after I die.
Heck yeah. I mean, you know, you're creating creepy antiques for a whole new generation.
I know. I mean, I'm not going to let them go out in the world and be normal. It's just, that would be bad.
What that would have be I even a failure. Exactly.
Yeah. What have I even done with my life? Okay. Well, that was a lot of fun. I want you to plug your social medias, your businesses, all the places you want people to visit and see your photographs and maybe read your writings. Not of the technical sort, because blah. But yeah. If you guys like that sort of thing, you can go there too. Anywho, what sort of places can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Spearson, S-P-I-R-S-O-N. My Etsy is Shop Made Magical, all one word. And then the Instagram and Facebook pages are Made Magical.
I went to your Etsy shop. I like that Victorian. It's like maybe brass.
Yes.
Bell. Is it a bell?
It's a bell. It's a bell shaped like a beautiful Southern lady.
It's a Southern bell.
Literally.
I know. I love puns. That's
me
a good
too.
One.
It's a living, breathing brass pun, and it's for sale on my Etsy.
I love that. Well, thank you for coming on. Everybody visit her stuff and stay thrifty.
Thank you.
All right. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, that's another episode of Thrift Therapy. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate you. And I'm still having a lot of fun doing the podcast, even though I'm going to be dialing back the number of podcast I do each month. I want you to know I'm still having a great time and I love doing the podcast. I just also got to be doing my real job as well. So tune in next week for another Halloween-themed episode in which I'll be interviewing the host of the Wives Tales podcast. It's a best friend duo who talk about wives' tales, obviously. And a lot of them are spooky themed, so be sure and check them out. If you like what I'm talking about on this show, you'll for sure like their show. And they go much further into the stories of different hauntings and different tales that people use to scare their children and all kinds of fun topics that they get into. They'll be on the show next week talking about their podcast and their thrifting habits, of course. And I'll have some more listener ghost stories for you. If you have a haunting or a ghost story of a thrifted item or anything like that that you want me to read on air, be sure and join the Facebook group, which is Thrift Therapy on Facebook. And then you can go like the page and then request to join the group. You can also message me on Instagram at Thrift Therapy Pod. I also do my outfit of the day every day with a thrifted outfit, and that's Thrift Therapy Pod _OOTD. I also have my webpage, which has all this stuff on it, so if you don't want to get a pen or have to remember it, just hop on over to thrifttherapypod.com, and it has links to all my social media, has links to my Patreon page, has links to PayPal. You can support the show that way. You know, something that does really help the show is if you go over to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Definitely tell a friend. That's the best way to get the word out there and have more thrifters listen to the podcast. If you want to be on Thrift Therapy, you think you have some good thrifting stories or an angle you want to work, just pitch me at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com. And I'd love to talk with you and see if we can get you scheduled for an interview. I don't think I have any more news or updates for you, so I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Stay thrifty, everybody.